This is Saturday, July 24th, 1993, and going to talk about Dr. H.C. Cook with his granddaughter, Lucille Cook Sweeney. Lucille, your grandfather, Dr. H.C. Cook, born in 1851, do you know what those initials stood for?
Harrison Caswell.
Say that again.
Harrison Caswell.
And he was born in what state?
Mississippi.
In Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And of course he died in Diboll in 1936.
Right.
And of course his marker shows that he MD, Dr. Cook. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Martha, what was her name before she...
Thompson.
And she was born in 1848 and died in Diboll in 1929. Where were they married, do you know?
I imagine in Meridian, Mississippi.
Now
I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know, you may not be interested. My grandfather's daddy was killed in the Civil War. 6 months after he passed away, his mother died. And when he was about 16 years old, he went to work for my grandmother's daddy. And I think it was Old Thompson. He had a big plantation. He had 9 sons and 1 daughter, which was my grandmother. And then my grandparents married, and Grandpa Thompson sent him to the University of Mississippi, and he had a diploma, but I guess it was with Aunt Lily, and she died, and I don't know where it went. Now, I don't know how long he had to go to become a doctor. But then they decided to come to Texas. And the first place that my grandfather practiced medicine was in Cargo. Yeah. And my Aunt Lily, she taught school in Cargo for several years. Then she married Will Hill, who was over the woods. And they needed a doctor at the camp. And Daddy went to Al Cedar Camp. That's where he lived, next door to Bishop Martin. And he worked in all those camps but Fastbro. And he retired. And they moved to Diboll in the old Chandler house. You know where that was? Okay. And then, let me see now where I'm trying to say. Oh, he had an office in his house, and people used to come there, and he delivered, as his check shows right here, that was my Jewel Treadwell brought me there, and she said she thought it was Miss Icy Waltman, but she wasn't sure.
Well, can you tell what date that is on that check?
I'm going to get my glasses. Well, she said it was the date that one of her sisters was born, and they must have been, wait a minute, I've got the permanent check in here. Get my glasses. Yeah. Cornbread twistle bug. But now Jewel Treadwell brought me this several years ago. It says 1903. See if you can make, I can't, let's see. It's November 1903.
Well, I expect with November 1903 that we could find out from Jewel which one of the children was born then.
Yeah, well, she said one of them was born and she knew it was for delivering a child. Mm. And she said she kind of thought it was Miss Icy Walton.
Well, I kind of believe Miss Walton's a little bit older than that. C3 from 93 would make a 90, and I think Miss Walton's a little older than that. But we can certainly find out.
Well, see, I don't know why the date wouldn't be plainer, because Jewel, when she brought it, maybe she was going by the year that one of them was born. I don't know, frankly. And but I think Jewel told me as much as she knew about it. She said that her daddy had a bunch of old papers and they never had been gone through. And she said when she went through them and saw this check, that she had a sister that was born. She said in on this date, but she might have meant year. Let's see what year. 1903.
We'll see that from her we can definitely find out which child that was, if we need it.
Yeah.
Now, Lucille, I believe you told me in the past, but now this diploma that you think ended up in Ms. Hale's possession, that you personally have seen that hanging in Dr. Cook's office.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know. See, Aunt Lily is not living, not any of his own children. But we was with them a lot. And they used to talk about all this. And this was one thing. And Granny, that we used to be spending the night. And she'd talk and tell about the panthers and the woods and all that. And she said, you know, I love Papa the first time I ever laid eyes on him. And we'd clap our hands like that. And of course, I don't know how long he worked for Grandma's daddy, but now, Grandpa's family, I think they just were farmers, and I don't think they had anything. But Grandma's daddy was a pretty wealthy man. He had a big plantation. And Grandma, I guess, being his only daughter, is why he wanted Grandpa to do something besides farm. But the one that sent him.
Now, why did you say they came to Texas?
I don't know. I do not know.
Well, now, the...
I know this, they came in a covered wagon.
The, one of the records that I ran across this morning, Dr. H.C. Cook registered as a doctor in Angelina County on October 2, 1895 or 1891, at Emporia. Of course,
They lived down there at one time.
Well, as you possibly heard, when some of the Temples and even Bascom Weeks told me that when he and his wife came to Diabol from Timpson, that they got off on it at Emporia.
Well, that was the first dive off.
And that they either had to catch the taxi, which was a buggy, or they had to walk back up the tracks to where Diabol is.
See, when they lived at Emporia, Granny Taylor, you remember her, Miss Chandler's mother, was their next door neighbor. And Granny Taylor and my grandmother, Grandma died before she did. They visited all the time. They were real, real good friends because, see, they were neighbors all the time they lived in Emporia. But now, when they all moved to Diabol, you might know that, but I don't.
Well, I just don't know when they moved to Diabol, but I do know.
Oh, Harry Chandler might know.
In 1914, that he was back in Diabol and pretty active because he was appointed on the building committee of the Methodist Church.
Yeah. And after he left that camp practice, and that was when that pastoral camp started. Well, that's when Grandpa, as far as I think that was, he didn't work there. But I do know that the first camp practice he did was at that one,
Lindsay Spring.
And I know that they lived next door to Carl Martin, and that's where Daddy and Carl Martin became good friends, you know. And I do know this. The first house they lived in Diboll was the old Chandler house, because I've heard them say. And Ms. Tillman and Homer Rogers was living with them. They lived next door to them. Ms. Tillman did. I guess she had a husband. I don't know. But I do know that that's the first house that Grandma and Grandpa ever lived in, was the old Chandler house.
And he really went a lot of times moved from camp to camp,
yeah,
because as they cut out the timber, they moved to another
camp. And that
camp
happened when Aunt Lily and Uncle Will married. See, she was their only daughter. And I don't know what year they married in either. But anyway, they wanted to be close to Aunt Lily. And I don't know how many different camps, but I do know this, he never went to Fastrow camp. He moved to Diboll. And I wish, you know, I knew more, but I guess I do know more than some people about their grandparents.
Well, that, of course, he was busy, but anything that you remember him and his relationship to his children and grandchildren?
We stayed at their house more than we did at home when we wasn't in school. They were the best grandparents in the world. Nothing but love for their grandchildren. And we all wanted to stay with them as much as we possibly could. And they had a pond out in front of their house when they lived in Cokestown, and we used to crawfish. And Grandma never refused us as much bacon as we needed. They used to, Aunt Lily and the parents used to say, "How do you keep them in bacon?" And she said, "You don't worry about that." She said, "When they come ask me for bacon to crawfish, they get it." I'll tell you this, what we did. When we spent the night with them, when we got ready to go to bed, Grandpa read some in the Bible. And then we had to kneel just like they did. He kneeled down and prayed. Now, we went through that ritual every night before we went to bed. But we got an awful lot of religious training through Grandpa and Grandma, because they read the Bible, they talked it, and they lived by it. You know, their back porch would look like a store most times. All these people in the country, a lot of them, they didn't have any money. He took syrup, ribbon cane, sweet potatoes, and a lot of widow women have told me that they never could have made it if it had not been for what Grandma and Grandpa, my grandmother was a character. She was a comedian. And said, Ms. Copes, for one, said, Mammy Cook says, "Lila, go out there and get you a gallon of that syrup, get potatoes, because it's more than we'll eat. Just get what you want." And she was a widow woman and had, you know, that was Ollie Mae and Ruby's mother. And I do know, I don't think there were two better people that ever lived, because Grandpa went whether they could pay him or not. And Grandma was almost as good as a doctor herself.
That I noticed, figuring up here, that he died at about age 85. that, of course, you remember old Brother Weatherby.
Oh, yeah.
As well as I do, and I know that they were diabolical around 1932, because as you are graduated, and I don't know how many more years that he stayed, but...
He did that with all the Methodist
old preachers. Dr. Cook was close to 80 years or a little bit better, and I recall that oftentimes the Sunday that he'd come to Ryan Chapel, that Brother Weatherby would come and Dr. Cook would come to him with him for worship services.
If he ever prayed in the church too, he knelt on his knees. And he was doing that after they'd quit. And Aunt Lily, this probably wouldn't do for the paper, but you know, Aunt Lily was pretty precise for her day, and her being the only girl, and she had a pretty good education for people at that time. But she would tell Grandpa, he had a certain pew he sat in, and it was right on the end, up close to the pulpit. And she would say, "Papa, I'm so afraid you're going to fall in the floor. And you just need, when they call on you to pray, to stand up." He said, "Lily, in that Bible it says, every knee shall bend, every head shall bow. And I have never stood up to talk to my God. So if I fall, you don't worry. I'm going to still kneel to say my prayers." And he did.
Well,
there's not any more good old people like that today, are there, Franklin? That was a good world, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
It's a shame, too, that people, well, I don't say people our age, because I think we got more spiritual, really spiritual training, and we lived in a time where our parents, too, helped people. But I will say in the last 20 or 25 years is when we had to start locking doors. We used to go off and be gone a week and never think about locking a door. And we didn't, and sex was not to be talked about. And it's made a complete change, hasn't it?
It sure has. It sure has.
And I don't think it's for the better.
Just let me. Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll try to call Morton early Monday and ask him to work out something whereby he can look at these pictures, and for as they're going back to Dix's house, that while you're there, and I'm going to tell him that I'm responsible, and I'm not going to leave those pictures.
Right.
And see, he'll make them, he'll blow them up, and he'll make a negative.
Uh-huh.
And then we can see what all he wants to put on their display in the bank for Dr. Cook. And then the other material that I'll wait possibly next year before the first Sunday in June and try to put it in the free press regarding homecoming at the chapel.
Okay. Well, now, do you want to take this with you?
Well, if...
Because, see, you can take this.
Well, if you'll let me have...
See, I've got a bunch of them, and I've got several of these. If you want to take that, you may not want this.
Well, I'd like to have it, because I'd like to get that date filled in and find out. Because, see, I knew this family.
And now this is another one that was run off.
Yeah. And this is the...
You want me to write?
Let's see. Yeah, this is taken in Cooperstown. And let's see, you didn't have an extra a picture run off of them down at...
Down at
Perth. Down at... Lindsay Springs.
No, but all I got to do is...
No, I'll just over there at when he runs them off.
Well, now, would you need names?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Where is that one of all of us with them? Didn't I give you one?
I don't believe it.
Yes, I did. Here it is.
Yeah. put who they are.
Well, I had a pen.
Yeah, here's your pen.
Since none of the others live here, do you think on mine I ought to put Lucille Cook Sweeney?
Yes.
Now,
of course, this is Dr. Cook and his wife.
Yeah. Well, I didn't put them. Yeah. I thought.
Well, that's all right.
You'd know that. Yeah, okay. But you didn't. I figured you didn't know who the kids were.
Sure.
Now that is all the deed for the land for the Methodist Church.
Uh-huh.
And now you got one picture of Grandpa, didn't you?
Yeah. Listen, I don't believe it.
No, that one is. That's it. Okay. One is. One, a real dark one. Okay. That's
yeah.
It. See, they run, I don't know why these two was run off. She ran me three off, but two of them was darker.
Yeah.
And that's a better one, don't you think?
Yeah, oh yeah. Huh?
You want me to give you something to put that in? Or let me see if I can find you a big paper clip. Or you'd rather I put it in a plastic bag or what?
Well, just a plastic bag will be fine, Lucille. Well, you have a real nice place here, Lucille.
Well,
how long have you lived here?
I'm going into my fourth year in this apartment. I lived in that deer cross, that new one that John Connolly and that bunch started, you know. But I didn't like it. And anyway, they went bankrupt. So I decided to move over here because there was more senior citizens that live here. I have all the room I need. I have the kitchen and then this and then a small bedroom. You won't
know that of course this information I had on these this morning, I just opened that cemetery book and where Junior went out there and walked from one to the other, just copied out of the cemetery book.
Yeah, that's what he did. Oh my. Do you know I'm the only one in my first family living? I guess I felt more like a mother to Junior. He was the baby of the family and I was older. And, you know, he's been dead 2 years. And I tell you, I miss him so much. And I tell people that still have brothers and sisters, most of these people out here do. I said, well, you sure better enjoy him. Because there's a difference in sitting down talking to your brother and sister, because we talk in the past, and older people like to do that. But your children don't know anything about that, and they don't want to hear it, or mine doesn't. You know, Jack could just care less. He says, well, I can understand you loving your grandparents, but as far, I didn't know them. And I like to talk about people that we knew. Of course, now he idolized my daddy. And he has a picture of daddy in his office. But when you leave the people that he knew in the family and start way back, he don't want to, he just tell you, Mother, that doesn't mean anything to me.
He will someday, and then he'll say, well, I wonder why I didn't ask.
Yeah, well, see, just like me, I wish that I'd asked more than I did, but I think that we grandchildren know more, like, about the Civil War, and Grandpa's daddy was killed in the Civil War, and his mother died in 6 months. He went to Grandpa Thompson's plantation. Grandma had 9 brothers. She's the only girl. I know about him going to, I didn't even think we had that diploma at the University of Mississippi, but I just don't know.
Well, now, it would be a small chance if someone would write to the University of Mississippi and give the approximate years that he would very likely been close to 20 when he born in 51, somewhere between 71 and 80 that he was a pupil there. And they might be able to give you more information about how long he went, and they might be able to make a copy of a diploma for you. Well, Lucille, you don't know how appreciated and that I'll let you know, or let Mike Martin call you and set up a time that you can come by. But once again, hold up your hand. You're not going to leave those photographs.
Oh, there. No, because listen, Junior lost some of the best ones, and Rhoda Faye Chandler is the very one that came and got them, and Junior told her. He first said no, and she said, Junior, I will not let these pictures get out of my hand. And he said, okay, I'm going to do that. And do you know, it was before Dieball Day. And when he got ready for his pictures, well, he went up there, and they didn't know anything about them. And Rhoda Faye had just turned them over and was going to get them after Dieball Day, and nobody ever found them. So that's the reason that Junior never let him take another one of the pictures unless he went and brought it. And Dixie'd kill me if I lost all those pictures, because she knew how much it meant to Junior. And see, most of them's framed and was on the wall in the den. And no, I know not to turn them loose.
Turn them loose. If he can't, you say, well, I'm just too busy to do it today, so well, we'll just have to do it again. Well, mighty fine. It's
well, is he down there most days?
Yeah.
Well, see, I know Brenda Russell real good.
Yeah.
And I think she's good, don't you, to be over the library?
Yeah, real good.
And so anyway, I'll take it pretty much through Brenda of getting it set up for the man and doing all that.
All right. Well.
But now you just want this. You don't want this, any of this, for the paper if you're going to put an article or anything.
The picture that is at the camp, I would like to have just a Xerox copy of that sometime.
Okay.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you can think of?
Well, that's just about it, frankly.
Does anyone ever hear from Gilbert? Isn't he the only living hill
yeah,
all the time?
Gilbert lives in Portland, Oregon, and his health's not good at all. And Eloise, she was Eloise Cook, she lives in Arizona. And myself, that's the only.
Well, Eloise is, she was a beautiful girl when she was in school.
She's still pretty.
She is. Now, what relationship was Eloise to you?
First cousin. See, I showed you these pictures where are all. See, this was Jim Cook. That's Eloise's daddy, and he had a son named Wilbur. Okay, this is Aunt Lily. And Billy Hill and Gilbert and Jumbo were her children. This is Daddy, me and my sister and Junior. And this Uncle Hardy never had any children of his own. He married Aunt Bobby, who was a Dubose, and she had two children, Sydney and Kirby. And now this is Kirby. We never did know the difference. They weren't our own. But now this is Uncle Hardy's stepson, Kirby Dubose. But Grandma and Grandpa treated them just like they did us. And, I'll tell you, poor little old Kirby. He had a time of it. He used to come here, and I just miss him so much. I tell you, Franklin, I've lost so many friends that I've known all my life. Till sometimes I just sit down and have a cry. But, you know, Kirby came here almost on an average of once a week. And he felt so bad. And of course, he lost his wife after he knew he had cancer. And I just felt so sorry for him. And he liked a certain cookie that I made, and I kept him baked. Every time he'd leave, well, I'd give him a bag of cookies. And he liked coffee. You want a cup of coffee?
I would give him.
And we'd sit and drink coffee and talk about Grandma and Grandpa. Now, some of these pictures that here, Kirby had them and gave them to Jimmy. And he had, you know, copies made. But Sydney, his health's not good either, but Sydney was older than us. And he just different to Kirby.
You know, one time that I was looking through some old church records, and wasn't too long before I ran across Sydney in the grocery store. I said, "Sydney, it's going to hurt your feelings, what I know. But I said, on a certain month and a certain day and a certain year, with a certain preacher at the Methodist Church in Diabo, you joined the Diabo Methodist Church." He says, "That's right." Did you know that? Sydney.
No,
Now a Baptist preacher started out.
Well, you know why he's Baptist, don't you?
No.
Well, see, he married Gladys Waller, and you know Jewel Waller, she told the preachers what to do, and when she got mad, the Baptist preacher, they was gone, see. We couldn't find ours like they did. And old lady Miles that lived there, you know, Elodie Miles, taught school. Oh, they were hard shell babies. But, you know, Sydney was pretty much of a cutter. And it surprised me so when he married Gladys, I wouldn't have thought he'd even gone with her, because he went with pretty high stepping Vera Williams and Devian Weeks and that bunch. But anyway, he told me he was just tired running around, and he said, "I knew I'd never marry one of them." And some way he met Gladys. And she, that could never be a mark on her character. She's sweet, she's good, she was good for him. But I know that all them were Baptists, and they probably, Gladys wouldn't go to Methodist Church. He started going with her. But it doesn't matter what church you're in, I think that Sydney is better off going in the Baptist Church and doing what he's doing than they're not going to any church.
Sydney's a mighty fine fellow.
I think he is too, and I'm real proud of him. He does a lot to help people. But I know, see, Ever Cook by name, but they were Duboses, Kirby and Sydney. But Ever Cook by name was Methodist. And Daddy, you know what, Junior, he was such a mess. He always said, "Now, I know I will never vote for a Republican, but I don't know about you. You're pretty prissy," he'd say. "But now, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you ever, if you ever vote for a Democrat or leave the Methodist Church and go into another church, you're going to make Grandpa and Daddy both turn over and cry." He was such a mess. And Grandpa used to say, "The proudest thing that I have achieved in my life is having my children being a Mason and a Methodist. Mm-hmm. And my daddy, you know, Grandpa gave that some degree. What do you call it in the
32nd, I guess.
In two, every one of his sons.
Exactly.
That was all Mason. My daddy had a Mason kid. And Grandpa was real proud of that.
I'm sure he was. Well, I'll be back in touch with you early next week when I get hold of that, and I've enjoyed the visit.
Well, I've enjoyed you coming.
And I hope that you just have a good time today.
Well, I doubt if I'm going to have a good time, but it's going to be a quiet time. I'll be getting in trouble.
Oh.